It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready
for... Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
What do you plan to do after the All-Star game to get better?
Buy you a new jacket.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or comment, you can email me at msoce@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soce. The show's available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which someday we'll update at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard is the man who made me laugh hysterically because it is All-Star Weekend.
All-Star Weekend.
Are you watching any of the All-Star festivities?
I love All-Star Saturday night.
Do you?
That's my... I would place... Depending on who is in the Super Bowl, I would place All-Star Weekend above Super Bowl Sunday. I would place All-Star Saturday above Super Bowl Sunday.
And what is your lovely wife going to be doing on Valentine's Day? This sounds like an episode of our imaginary sitcom, I Love You, Your Team Sucks. It's Valentine's Day, but Kobe's watching the All-Star game. Bum, bum, bum,
who's competing in the three-point shootout?
And you're trying to put Frank in a Cupid outfit and a basketball jersey.
And Bianca knew all about this before she signed on, right?
She does now. So anyway, the sitcom husband, that's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
We have another sitcom over here, husband over here. It's sitcom husband day, I believe, here at Film Sociology. Yeah. This is a trio. This is a power trio. This is always a good combination to have. Do we have his intro?
Oh, yes, we do.
A man who has an introduction. And it's not ready.
Lawrence of Arabia. He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Well, Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music.
To it?
It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
there
doing?
Are no words to that.
Hear what I was saying earlier? Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
And he's Mike Perry.
Well, if someone wrote lyrics to that song, they did not put it on the soundtrack album. My good friend, Mr. Soce, gave me the soundtrack album to Lawrence of Arabia, by God, there's not a lyric in it.
Now, to be fair, by the late, great Maurice Jarre.
Yep.
I think I'm saying. Now, to be fair, somewhere down the line, somewhere I think there could be, there could always be an extended double disc collection. You know, Polydor Sony is really good at doing that. So you have to buy the album a second time, but it has a chock full of goodies. So maybe in the reissue, whoever owns the music to Lawrence of Arabia, it might be Sony. So we'll see. We will see.
But if it's Bill Murray singing it in a lounge, then it doesn't count.
Did you see the we're already going off the rails. Did you see Rolling Stone ranked all of the SNL cast members?
I did, actually.
Fascinating list. I mean, it's really intriguing. And I read the whole darn thing. And I really... And, of course, when you make a list like that, that is supposed to bring in arguments and debate and thousands of comments at the bottom of the article. And I read it, and it was pretty good. It was a pretty good list. And also justification of current members.
Sure.
And their abilities, and also, you know, a few of the ringers that had to be a part of the 80s.
I was encouraged that at the very beginning of the list, which started at the bottom, worked its way up, were two current cast members, at least in the list I saw. It was Kate McKinnon and Kenan Thompson back to back there.
Yeah, so intriguing list, but go look at it. It's a fascinating list. So we talked at Of course, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Today's Friday the 13th. That doesn't mean anything. And yesterday was my wife's birthday. So happy birthday,
Lynn. Happy birthday,
Lynn.
Mrs. Soce.
Thank you for letting me call you Mrs. Soce on the radio. And yes, I am also reminded 2 days, two different sets of flowers.
Yep.
So, because I did that with my birthday, which is December 19th. So, yeah. Until I can buy a car and tell her to stop it. No, I'm not doing that, Lynn. Sorry. Okay. With that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, there are some days that I am very thankful for certain filmmakers. And this week, I want to personally thank Matthew Vaughn for having a film open today. And you know why? Because I'll put it out there. Kobe.
Yes.
Does your lovely wife, does fair sweet Bianca, have any interest in 50 Shades of Grey?
She does.
Is she going to go see it? With girlfriends?
I don't
or
know.
Or you?
Don't know.
Don't know yet. Okay. Mike, is the Marm interested in 50 Shades of Grey?
She seems to be. So, you know, I'm planning to take her to see it at some point, probably not this weekend, but at some point, and, you know, just kind of quietly take notes.
Don't do that gesture. Anyway, Mrs. Soce, Lynn, doesn't care, and I really didn't want to see the Friday morning 10 a.m. crowd of 50 Shades of Grey. I really don't. Yeah. I lovingly refer to that group as the old, the weird, and the unemployed. I didn't want to see that group, so I didn't see 50 Shades of Grey.
Because that group exists with ladies as well.
Well, and yeah, and I already saw the Friday morning 10 a.m. of Magic Mike a couple of years back.
How'd that start your day out?
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, yeah, I know. I didn't walk in. I didn't walk in and go, nope, straight. Mm-hmm. Film critic coming in here. I'm on duty.
That's why you had the T-shirts printed.
I had the notebook. I had the press card. I had the fedora with press card. And that's when all the critics, when we have this happen. It's been a while, but I remember when we had to see stuff with like a Lohan or a Duff, and we would all sit together and we would all bring notebooks and we would all talk really loudly about our work. Because I didn't want anybody, you know, the only thing missing was a sign that says, not creepy.
Right.
And I already had that happen with, when I had to review The Sisterhood of the Traveling Ants. Mm. I'll get to that story in a little bit. Anyway, but yeah, the Magic Mike people, there were ladies, I know that there were thousands of women that took like the day off of work or half day to go see the first screening. And as we walked out of the theater, I could hear a group of them grumbling. And part of it was, they wanted to see Channing Tatum dance. They didn't want the dialogue and they didn't want the plot. You know, I think a lot of women, and yes, I can't wait to get your scathing emails and texts and tweets and Facebook posts, that they wanted the male strip club experience without the cover, the 2-drink minimum, and the walk of shame out of the parking lot. I think that's what they were hoping for with Magic Mike.
Oh, man.
Except there was a plot. It was Steven Soderbergh's Boogie Nights. So anyway, didn't see 50 Shades of Grey. Instead, I saw The Kingsman. Do we have the trailer for that?
Yes, we do.
We have Academy Award winner Colin Firth, Academy Award nominee Samuel L. Jackson, probably one of the great starting players. He's no longer a that guy, but one of our favorite that guys that we now know, Mark Strong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And 2-time Academy Award winner Sir Michael Caine, and a kid who's not the kid from Kick-Ass. Here we go.
Huge IQ, great performance at school, but you gave up. Drugs, petty crime, you never had a job. It set you on a certain path, but you needn't stay on it.
Who are you?
The man who got you released.
I've never met a tailor before. But I know you ain't one.
Come with me. What do you see? I see a young man with potential. Pull the hook on your left.
Oh, yes. Very nice. What does this do? Electrocute you?
Don't be ridiculous. It's a hand grenade.
Shut up. That is sick.
Five, two, one, baby.
We are an independent international intelligence agency operating at the highest level of discretion. The Kingsman agents are the new knights.
You are about to embark on the most dangerous job interview in the world.
Felt sorry for the boy, did you? He will find this humiliating.
He's as much Kingsman material as any of them.
We're here to enhance your skills. Test you to the limit. You need to solve problems under pressure. Like what to do when one of your group has no parachute.
Interested?
Manners maketh man.
I have trouble understanding you people sometimes. You all talk so funny.
What about him? What makes him so special?
Put it back.
Yes, The Kingsman, The Secret Service, which it's directed by Matthew Vaughn, who was in X-Men, directed X-Men, Kick-Ass, Layer Cake. And it does kind of have a Men in Black feel to it, because you have the young hotshot who's being recruited to become one of these potential Secret Service members. And they're all named after the Knights of the Round Table.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Michael Caine is Arthur, and Mark Strong is Merlin, because he's the trainer. So that's pretty good. So there's kind of a Men in Black meets the Avengers look, as far as the suit, as you hear about manners and being a gentleman and wearing a suit. But it's not a Lord and Lady BS, Mr. Slagle. So, and what you find out early is the young recruit is somebody whose dad had worked with the Colin Firth character. What's the name of the young lad whose name I can't remember, who's not the kick-ass kid?
Adrian Quinton.
Adrian Quinton. What else has he done?
Let's look, shall we?
He's pretty good. So expect...
Walking on Sunshine, he was a dancer.
That's it?
That is it.
He does have some moves where he's being chased through tenement, British tenement housing, where he's leaping from level to level. So we know he can do that. And, yeah, he holds his own with the likes of the actors we already mentioned. Mark Hamill is in this as well.
Oh, nice.
He's got a nice bit.
How fun is this movie?
Walking out of it, I would say, what did you think of the first Kick-Ass?
I was shocked by some of it, but I was amused by most of it.
You're going to get the same feeling with this.
Okay.
Because there is that, you know, some of the over-the-top ridiculous action scenes that are, it's R-rated, and for a reason. There's going to be a few moments that I worried that Vaughn was going to try to outdo himself. And, you know, I know he had nothing to do with Kick-Ass 2, but that was a big letdown. And there are moments where it feels like he's trying to outdo stuff that he had done in the first Kick-Ass. And I'll give an example without really giving anything away. Choice of music. The great moment in the first Kick-Ass was using Elvis Presley's An American Trilogy for a sequence near the end. Right. And there is a famous rock radio staple that is used in a fight sequence that I felt didn't quite do it for me. But there's also, near the end of the film, a piece of classical music that does do it for me.
Cool.
So expect some shocking moments. Expect some characters to go away kind of fast. Well, it's one of those, I think, there's the thing, a recurring theme that is brought up a couple of times is when Sam Jackson's character, who of course wants to destroy the world with his technology, with his chips, and Colin Firth are talking, and they talk about the old James Bond movies, and a thing that is brought up is, this isn't that kind of movie, and it isn't. So if you like the at times gruesome R-rated over-the-top action sequences from Kick-Ass, I think you're going to like this one.
Oh, cool. I'm looking forward to it. I read an article about it today that was comparing it favorably to like Guardians of the Galaxy, bringing fun back into the action movie.
There is some fun in this. And again, it has, because you have mentor and mentee, there's a little Men in Black feel to it. It's fine. There's also half the film is recruiting to see who can fill the space of one of the agents who's no longer with us. So there's a competition amongst the young agents, including this kid, And so that's a part of it, as well as Sam Jackson's character developing his plot for the climax of the film.
And how does Mr. Darcy do in kicking butt?
Well, I can't wait to see this on DVD and Blu-ray so we can see the action sequences, because there's a pretty good job of... Because I know you can superimpose,
right?
You can CG faces. I know Firth is, you know, he's a spry gentleman, and I know he did some of his action scenes. I'd like to know how much of it he did, because especially there's the moment that involves a piece of rock radio staple. It's a really long over the top sequence, and I would like to find out how much he actually did.
I'm looking forward to it. I may sneak out and see that this weekend.
Yeah, how often do we get to say Colin Firth action movie?
That's really what has my interest in this. I want to see how he does in an action film.
He does a good job. You know, in this one, he does more than just put on a suit and look good.
Good.
And wear the Michael Caine 60s glasses. And that's and that's a thing you'll see why it's used in there. And, of course, Michael Caine's in there. So, anyway, it's a lot of fun. It's not for the squeamish. But you should check it out anyway, and it's still and it's not 50 Shades of Grey.
Now that was a good movie.
There you go. So, also in theaters, I'm going to get to this, Kobe, and we'll get to your alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
At the Goodrich Hamilton 16, and this is happening on February 16th, so that's Monday, at 5 and 7 p.m., Goodrich Hamilton 16. They're showing the documentary Keep On Keepin' On, which is a really cool documentary about jazz trumpeter Clark Terry. So I got to see that. And of course, I, being a jazz buff, really enjoy the music. And there's some fun. And there's a song that Clark, anytime I think of him and Oscar Peterson, there's a blues tune they do called Mumbles. And it's Clark Terry just
mumbling
over a piano blues trio. So very cool there. At AMC Showplace 17 and Castleton 14 tomorrow, Valentine's Day, if your sweetheart is a big film buff, the Best Picture Showcase.
Ooh.
Starting at 10 a.m. And I know a couple in Richmond that are going to do this. So this week, Grand Budapest Hotel at 10 a.m., Whiplash at noon, Birdman at 2:05, and Selma at 4:55. Interesting quartet right there.
Well, I've only not seen three of the nominees for Best Picture. Whiplash is one of them, so I may sneak over there and see that tomorrow.
You should really see Whiplash. At the Artcraft Theater in Franklin tonight at 7:30 p.m. and tomorrow at 2 and 7:30 p.m. Apparently, it's a 35-millimeter widescreen print with pre-show fun from 1964. Kobe, I'm sure you're lovely with My Fair Lady.
Oh, I love My Fair Lady.
As do we. Cool. It's the stuff, you know.
That is the stuff.
It is definitely the stuff. And with all due respect to Rex Harrison, Dr. Strangelove, Peter Sellers should have won Best Actor, and that should have won Best Picture.
Yeah,
I'm not bitter, but it is an excellent musical.
About something that happened 40 years ago.
50.
50 years ago.
50 years ago.
That's math.
Let me take a sip of Haterade. You're listening to Film Sociology.
If you're just now joining us, tune into Film Sociology.
Matthew Soucy and his Academy Award grudges. Yep, Goodfellas, Raging Bull. Can't let it go, apparently. That's me.
Now, with My Fair Lady, Audrey Hepburn was nominated for that, wasn't she?
She was nominated but did not win
because Julie Andrews won.
And, yeah, look that story up. That's fun. Karma's a record store. blame Audrey. I'm sorry, Audrey and Marnie Nixon.
Yeah.
So we got fair is fair on that. At the Hilbert Circle Theater tonight and tomorrow, Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, Casablanca.
Yep.
So Jack Everly conducts a live performance of Max Steiner's score while the film plays a few feet above his head, as written in Nouveau. And then Jean-Pierre Jeunet is at IU Cinema. I think I'm treading on your territories, Mr. Slagle. Is that on your page there?
I have it.
Oh, why don't you do it? I actually said it right, I think. Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
I was going to ask for some help on that.
I was going to pardon your French.
Or
at least I got to say it wrong if I did. So
6:30 tonight, IU Cinema, Amelie from 2001.
That's his film.
And then follow that up at 9:30 from 1991, Delicatessen.
Oh, big favorite at the Soucy House?
Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 3 o'clock from 1928, Verdun, Visions of History. And then at 7 o'clock, Micmacs from Jean-Pierre...
Jeunet.
And then Sunday, February 15th, IU Cinema. This May Be the Last Time, drama
that's
documentary.
Rolling Stones
3 o'clock, that's tomorrow, or Sunday. And then in the Ukrainian Homelands series,
cool.
Part of IU Cinema,
Credenza. I look forward to that every year.
Hey, John Vickers delivers, so.
Credenza from 2013. It is a foreign language comedy drama at 6:30. IU Cinema, and this weekend, actually tonight, at the IMA, part of their Winter Night series, An Affair to Remember.
Ah, a better version of Titanic. Shorter version of Titanic. Now, if Cary Grant and Kate Winslet, there's a pair right there. Yeah. There's a teaming.
Capture the aura of romance with a love letter workshop before the film.
Welcome to reading the text. Welcome to reading the websites and Nouveau section of film sociology. Wait, what's beforehand?
A love letter workshop.
To construct a love letter? I mean, to physically write one, or is it content?
I'm going
to
go ahead and say that's probably what love letter workshop means, is constructing one.
As opposed to are you making the paper? Are you putting lace on the paper so you can construct?
Wax stamps? No.
Lord and Lady BS.
Talking about reading from Nouveau, I'm just checking out this headline.
We're going to do some more of it.
So, yeah. So what does Ed John Sinnott think is better than awful?
Jupiter Ascending.
Oh.
Which apparently... Wow, do we have that?
Better than awful.
Better than awful. The Wachowski siblings' new space opera is stupid and sometimes dull, but the action scenes are fun.
Okay.
I think... That sounds like Get Drunk and Watch Fun.
It's also an art film.
It's not an art film. It was good seeing Joe Scheer yesterday. We were hanging out with Hammer and Nigel, who have demanded that they be back on the show. It's nice to have guests. And by the way, for the record, I asked Mike Perry to be here.
Yes.
So
he didn't come down to my cubicle and drag me out by the collar saying, please.
Hey, it's 2:55. Somebody dropped out. What are you doing, man? That's happened. Anyway, you'll see Jupiter Ascending, won't you?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll see it in a theater yet.
I don't know either. And I already saw Boy Next Door. Is that enough? I saw it sober.
Yeah, you need to cleanse after that, I think.
Well, that's why I'm really happy I saw The Kingsman, so.
Yeah.
All right, I think we'll take a short break.
Okay.
And we'll talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. And then, because tomorrow's Valentine's Day, I have a quiz via the Onion. We've already done I don't want to talk about the most romantic movies. And we've talked about, watching movies with our spouses, our own spouses. But we have a quiz, thanks to the Onion. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Tyler Hansbrough not taking part in All-Star Weekend.
Not even the three-point shootout?
No. No.
The dunk contest? No?
No.
Just standing under the basket and stuffing it in? Hanging out with Kobe Slagle and with Mike Perry. Before we get to the DVD titles, is the Celebrity Game tonight?
Celebrity Game is tonight, yes, and, Friday night at 7 o'clock.
Do you have your menu selected for that festivities, for those festivities?
Sushi is on the menu tonight.
Oh, very good. Mm. Roll it yourself?
No. Okay. Eventually want to, yes, but...
Not today.
No. I feel like that's an afternoon project. You need some patience and...
Yeah. And Frank.
Yeah. I've never been very good at rolling my own.
Moving on.
But you have done it.
I have done it.
We're talking sushi, folks. Who's playing at the Celebrity Game of note?
Well, Kevin Hart, naturally.
Oh, because he's involved in everything. Wait a minute, doesn't he have a new film ready to open tomorrow?
When's Get Hard? I think that's in March.
Yeah, I know. Oh, so we get a break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just a few weeks.
But yeah.
Kevin Hart, Ansel Elgort, Anthony Anderson, Common, Monet Davis is going to be there. Chadwick Boseman.
Ooh.
Room 42.
Wow.
Nick Cannon, Chris Mullen, if you've been missing him.
Wait.
Michael Rappaport.
I'm sorry, is there a senior game that also happening?
Well, Alan Houston and Chris Mullen.
Oh, my gosh. Token old guys.
Michael Rappaport.
Yes, of course.
Bollywood star Abhishek Bachchan.
Okay. Wow.
And there you go. Those are our movie.
Yes. Any movie models? Stars. Any models playing?
No, not seeing any.
Man, bummer. Okay, and we should mention, of course, Wizard World Comic Con is happening this weekend,
yes.
Downtown Indy. So if you want to go hang out with Shatner? Have at it. That's happening. Okay, moving on to DVD and Blu-ray. Finally, and this is a film that will hopefully, it did receive, I think, one nomination. It's got a screenplay nomination and will hopefully get a wider audience. It's the film Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal as a guy whose, his job is to photograph car wrecks and crimes in progress and sell them to the news station.
And he's a little bit too much into his work.
A little too not blinky, a little too gaunt and kind of reptilian and intense and scary. And he gets quality time with Rene Russo, which is always a good thing. But yeah, it is.
I haven't seen her in anything in years.
No. Well, she was. Oh, she's in Thor.
Okay.
So, but yes, but not not as much as we would like.
Not
so.
As a leading lady, anyway.
No, and by the way, Renee, door's always open. But yeah, it is to see the kind of seedy underbelly of Los Angeles at night, and what as far as you know, what counts as news, how far do you go to get the news, and it's a very cynical film. This is me saying this. This is a really cynical film, especially near the end. You did see or you haven't
seen? I have
seen
not
it.
Seen it.
It's worth checking out. I mean, there was talk that Gyllenhaal might get a nomination. He probably made the bottom 10, I guess, if we were doing a foot race. But it's a very, not a likable guy, but fascinating to watch. And I think it's a really good job by Gyllenhaal. And is it a modern-day network? No, but that does bring up some questions about news ethics and how far you will go. Gentlemen, just a reminder, and I posted this a few days ago. I was a huge fan. In fact, I think I named it Best Film of the Year, was the film treatment of Where the Wild Things Are. Mm-hmm. I really liked Spike Jonze and the other screenwriter. I'm sorry for that; it just slipped my mind. But being able to take a book that's a handful of pages and the imagery, and to be able to flesh it out, have some great character development with the monsters. They all have their own history. They all have their own insecurities. And I think it's one of the best adaptations of a children's book I've really in recent memory. I really wish those guys had done Alexander and the Horrible, No Good, Terrible, Very Bad Day. Because, and yes, I'm going to break it down because apparently film critics are picky. This goes over a span of 2 days. And, of course, Alexander has siblings because you have to have an older brother, an older sister, and a baby. And by the way, we will say this. Steve Carell in this film is married to Jennifer Garner. Way to go, big
way
shooter.
Way to go, Steve.
Way to salute. But we have Alexander having a bad day and everybody else having a good day. And then he wishes, before he goes to sleep, that he would have a good day. And guess what?
He infects everybody else.
Exactly. Everybody else has a bad day. So it's Alexander and his family and the Horrible, No Good, Very Bad 2 days. So, and it's Disney, and it's harmless. It's just not necessary. I would have actually liked to have seen Alexander's single bad day, and yeah. I guess you can add those characters. Well, nothing against Alexander, but that's the story. That's kind of what it is. So it's I'm sure younger people will like it, and folks that just want to turn their brains off and watch silliness, because there is some silliness.
That seems to be the way the movies are going these days. That are based on books. I mean, heck, it takes longer now to watch The Hobbit movie than it does to read The Hobbit.
Well, I will say this. It does have the one book, one movie.
There you go.
They just stretched it out over 2 days.
Until they have, Alexander's next very bad day.
Still bad. Still bad. Day.
Still bad, too.
So, yeah. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray. And actually the timing on this, I actually watched this because, of course, with the news involving Jon Stewart, but the film that he wrote and directed, Rosewater, with Gael Garcia Bernal, based on the true story of an Iranian journalist who is detained for his coverage of an election. And first half of the film is the setup, because that was the other thing I was worried about. I think a lot of people were expecting, guy being interrogated for an hour and 40 minutes. It's not quite that long.
No.
The first half is him arriving and covering the election, and then and I think the source, obviously, the inspiration for Stewart to make this film was a journalist who was detained because he appeared on a version of a Daily Show type program and was thought to be a spy.
Yeah.
So I understand why John made it. It could have been a little tighter. A lot of scenes in the interrogation room. I get it. I understand that's what they were going for. Stewart's a first-time director, and it shows at times, especially when word gets out that they're holding a journalist hostage, and you see a landscape, and then all of these blue visuals of hashtags popping up. Meaning that the word is getting out. We got it. So, but when you're a first time director, you tend to maybe overindulge, and that's fine. It's nothing offensive, but
he'll have more time now to spending his skills on his next movie.
I wonder, because I don't know if he is. He sounded like an athlete because he wants to spend more time with the family.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that, well, it's because then when they start
to know how wrong that is.
Yeah. Because then when he works on a next project, I'm like, what, you don't like your family anymore? Hi, Lance Armstrong. So anyway, I always tend to be leery about that. Anyway, it's go check it out. It's worth renting. Another one that's not bad as well is Laggies. This was the one with Keira Knightley and Chloe Grace Moretz. Keira Knightley is 20-something stuck at her. She works for her dad. She's living on the couch. I wish all slackers looked like Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Her job. Her dad has a tax office, Cove. She's one of the girls. She's one of those people that has the arrow sign on the side of the street. If Keira Knightley was doing that, there'd be car crashes.
Yeah.
or guys just stopping the car and getting out going, hey, how you doing?
Hey.
What you doing later? You want to get some lunch?
You'd like to help me fill out my return?
Mike Perry said that. And because she's stuck, she feels like her life is going nowhere, and the family's starting to fall apart a little bit. She starts to hang out with a teenager played by Chloe Martin, and the dad played by Sam Rockwell also shows up. And by the way, Sam Rockwell's in Poltergeist. Hooray! but it is the performances are good. It's kind of a similar story of the person 20-something whose life is on pause, and they need to unpause themselves. It just happens to be Keira Knightley.
Yeah, just wait till you get in your 50s.
No kidding. Yeah, you just wait, sir. Of course, Kobe's is going. His life is shooting straight to the top. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Jeremy Renner in Kill the Messenger. I tried to rent that, and it was out.
Really?
Every day.
Wow.
So good for him on that. And Force Majeure, which I think was in Ed Johnson Ott's top 10 list. A couple of old titles. We have a Julie Christie double feature, ladies and gentlemen, and that's always a good thing.
Yep.
Now, these are sold separately, so you have to go get it on your own. But I find this interesting that Criterion this week, I think because 50 Shades of Grey came out this week, they put out from 1973 the Nicholas Roeg thriller Don't Look Now with Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland. And it's a psychological thriller about a couple dealing with the loss of their child. The other thing that it's known for is there's a great folk tale, one of the all-time great rumors was there is a love scene between Christie and Sutherland, and the legend has it is that they actually
did.
Yeah.
Go Donald.
Yeah. So I think curly-haired Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie in 1973, that's more interesting than 50 Shades of Grey. And also, this is part of the Warner Archives, so you can get it on Blu-ray. This is one of those films that you have to order from Warner's directly, or as Kobe likes to put it.
Yeah, burn it for like $5.
In this case, it's a Blu-ray, so I'll do it, but it's 15. From 1967, one of the epic costume dramas. I wonder if Bianca might like this. Far From the Maddening Crowd. Julie Christie, Terrence Stamp, Alan Bates. I think John Schlesinger is directing it, so... Lots of vast landscapes and fine costumes. Lord and lady stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Probably.
That's out there. All right. So, there's plenty out there. And, of course, the Oscar-nominated films are still running about. And you said you're three shy?
I'm three shy.
Okay.
If I see Whiplash tomorrow, that'll knock it down to two.
Give J.K. Simmons our best. All right, guys. I have... We've talked before. Now, I guess I'll do this. Kobe, we've talked ad nauseum about what Bianca likes to watch, and sometimes Kobe just kind of, yeah. Mike, does the Marm, is there particular things that she likes you to watch with her?
I went with her to see New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God.
She likes those.
Wow. And so Valentine's Day, is that going to be watched tomorrow?
I
hope not, but I don't rule it out.
That was on TV a couple weeks ago.
Did you watch it?
I was in the room while it was on.
Was she cleaning?
No.
Okay, so it was just, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anytime Love Actually is on cable, she's glued to it.
Shut it, Love Actually. Great insult. Thank you, Jamie McDonald. Okay. Well,
I wasn't passing judgment, just noting that she's a fan of the movie.
That's fine. Miss Associate called it Altman Light because similar storytelling. Okay, well, that being said, and Miss Associate, if we're in the same room together at the same time, because we're both rehearsing shows right now, so my rehearsals get done before hers, so if I'm actually awake, and there are times when Emma's awake, I'm like, oh, look, we're all in the same house at the same time. That'll be Sunday. Actually, tonight we're going to see The Great Gatsby in Richmond.
Oh, cool.
So, all right. The Onion, the AV Club inventory, and if you don't read The Onion's AV Club, you really should. It's some of the best entertainment writing online and it also balances out the fake articles, the fun articles. But the inventory this week, because it's Love Week at The Onion, it's an inventory called Put Down the Boombox. 28 romantic gestures that are actually creepy. So I have here the list. I'm going to read the description, and I want to see if you guys can guess this.
All right.
Guess what it's from?
What it's from, okay. Yeah. So, and I'll, like, for instance, this number one, this is from a movie. And I'm impressed you guys hadn't read the inventory. It's very cool. Anyway, number one, take over your preteen school speech to explain how much you love your ex-wife.
Crazy something love.
Crazy stupid love.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell.
Missed that one.
Yeah. Oh, you. not anymore. Bianca's at her desk with a notepad going, crazy stupid love. Yeah, with Julie. Yeah, because he gets to separate from Julianne Moore and date Marissa Tomei. Good, you know, Steve Carell's good.
It's good to be Steve.
Yeah, he was married to Lauren Steve. Conrad for a film. So way to go, Steve. Then again, he's hanging out with Channing Tatum, but he got a nomination. So Steve, we like it. Okay, another film. Use your superpowers to stalk your girlfriend. I think there's a couple of answers with this one.
Wasn't there some of that in Spider-Man?
Yeah. Could be. Don't know.
That's I'll give it to you. They have The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
But I also, wasn't there a thing in Superman Returns that's kind of like that a little bit?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
That's where I was going.
Well, yeah, that as well. Kobe, you got to get this one. Sneak into her room to stare at the human you're obsessed with while she sleeps.
Oh.
The office is now closed.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not Nymphomaniac.
No.
Either volume.
And don't watch Nymphomaniac on Valentine's Day. Please don't. I will give you a hint. The office, that office at Film Sociology Productions is closed.
Oh, that's Twilight.
Yes, it is. Sorry, I had to bring that up. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. Okay, another film. And I never saw this one. Travel back in time to an era without modern medicine, electronics, or equal rights for women.
If you've never seen it, how are we going to get this?
Touche. He might have. I don't know.
It's not sounding unfamiliar.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you a hint. We missed her original face.
Oh, you said this last week.
Is it Renee Zellweger?
No. Oh. That's because I like Bob's Burton. No. No. No.
Is it Jennifer Grey?
No. All right, one more hint. It's Meg Ryan.
Going back in time. I'm
that's
lost.
Kate and Leopold.
Okay.
Hugh Jackman.
I'm still lost.
So that's okay. That's fine. This is television. This one, I dedicate this one to my daughter, Emma. Fly to London to fight for the woman you've only known for 2 weeks who said thank you after you told her you love her.
Oh, man.
Television. It's got to be something on the CW. I don't know.
Friends. That was Ross.
Really? Oh, that was Ross.
Yeah. Way to go, Ross.
Yeah. Ross was never the sharpest tack in the,
no. in the drawer.
Board, yeah.
In the lamp. What? Number six has two answers, but this could be many. Construct a completely false identity.
Yeah, that doesn't narrow it down.
I know it does. All right, so that's fine. All right, fine.
Mrs. Doubtfire next.
Right. Okay. See this again. I didn't write this, but their guess they had Coming to America. And Aladdin.
Mr. Deeds.
Yeah. So there's that. Which is, of course, Mr. Deeds Goes to Washington without Frank Capra or Jimmy Stewart. Anyway. Oh, yeah. This was a favorite at the house. Break into song in the back of a kindergarten classroom, then slowly walk to the front, ignoring numerous requests to stop.
I believe I've seen this one.
I believe so. And I will give you a hint. The song, it's a Carpenter's tune. Close to You.
Yeah, I can hear
you
the
can
song.
See it.
I can't picture the person doing it. The scene sounds familiar.
All right, final hint. It's Rick Moranis.
Parenthood.
Ding. There you go. This one's for the theater geeks out there. This was great. Save the king's life so he'll force the object of your affections to marry you against his will. Pretend to be another woman so he'll have sex with you, thinking you're her. Fake your own death, then return to break up his wedding. I'll give you a hint, it's Shakespeare.
Shakespeare in love?
No.
That's
okay. It's Helena in All's Well That Ends Well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Wasn't going to get that.
Okay. This was a book. This was a movie. This was a play. Trick her into loving someone else and lie about it after the guy dies so she spends the rest of her life as an unhappy widow.
It was a book, movie, and play?
Yeah.
Wait. Say it again.
Trick her into loving someone else and lie about it after that guy dies so she spends the rest of her life as an unhappy widow.
Oh. I don't know.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Mm-mm.
Roxanne, if you're... No, okay. It's not really. Okay, this is music. Write a romantic song that is actually a straight-up stalker confessional.
The band or the song?
If you have both, I think you got it.
The Police. I'll be watching you.
Every Breath You Take.
Every Breath You Take.
Number 11 is very special.
See, yes, I was thinking more Taylor Swift, but
I would even say Wichita Lineman should be on that list. I love going through this list. Number 11, this is a favorite of mine because I've done it. The play, not the it's agree to kill your best friend in a duel. It's a play, it's made into a movie. And the really obvious hint, I've acted in it. Kobe has his hands up as if the
goodness.
Kick is good.
Oh, my God. I can't think of it.
That's all right. Much Ado About Nothing.
Okay.
That wasn't what I was thinking.
Oh, great. Thanks. Even with the shameless hint, I acted in it. Number 12, completely toss your persona to remake your image into your boyfriend's ideal babe in black leather.
Grease.
Ding, 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 ding. Yep. It's not the word.
It's not the word.
Sorry. Number 13. Secretly film someone inside their bedroom, then spell their name out in fire beneath her window.
I've seen this, I think.
You have seen this.
I think I have, too.
It won Best Picture. There's a floating bag involved.
A floating bag.
Yep. It stars Kevin Spacey.
American Beauty?
Yes. The Wes Bentley character, the neighbor.
Oh, yeah. Floating
I know,
bag.
We're too busy thinking of Mina Savari in a bathtub of rose petals, I know.
Yeah. Well, how can you not?
Right. Number 14, cancel your wedding to a guy after you tricked his whole family into thinking you were his fiancé while he was in a coma.
While you were sleeping.
Look at that. No hesitation whatsoever. But she's pretty. Number 15. Instantly decide a woman walking by is, quote, the one, even though you can't tell her apart from other women walking by. Then become her teacher so you can exploit the power imbalance to insinuate yourself into her life.
I got nothing.
Good Morning, Vietnam.
Really?
Yeah, because he teaches the English language class, remember?
Oh, yeah. Mm-mm. Okay.
Okay, this one's television. Ambush your crush in your basement with an impromptu rendition of Lady.
Oh, this is television?
This is television. Cult hit. Short.
Lady.
Got canceled too early. Young cast that have now gone on to bigger and more successful things.
Freaks and Geeks?
Yes. It's Jason Segel. Number 17, hire a prostitute, then try to take care of her.
Pretty Woman?
Yep. You haven't watched Pretty Woman yet?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, you have. Okay. Oh, boy. Reveal your feelings in a national newspaper and challenge the object of your affection to kiss you the first time in a baseball field in front of thousands.
Oh my goodness.
Kobe's passing
Who
a golf
is it?
Stone.
Who is it?
It's Drew Barrymore.
The one with Jimmy Fallon?
No. God, that's
not that. Fever Pitch. Terrible. Oh my goodness.
Kobe's having an aneurysm.
Oh, that's driving me crazy.
Never Been Kissed.
Yes. Okay. Good grief.
Never Charlie been Brown. Watched. So
that's see what he did there? Number 19. This is fun. This is a fun quiz. So meticulously construct an entire day's worth of conversation in order to win someone over.
My dinner with Andre.
Wow. No. Good guess. No. Hint. Annie McDowell could slap me 20 days in a row if she wanted.
Oh, Groundhog Day.
There you go. I believe this is television. I think it is. Commit yourself to a never-ending war on evil in order to impress a pretty 15-year-old. Now, this will be kind of a giveaway because it was a movie and then they made it into a series. Yeah, it is a series. It is a television series. Sorry.
Say it again.
Commit yourself to a never-ending war on evil in order to impress a pretty 15-year-old.
I don't know.
Buffy. Never watched it?
See, never
watched
I never it. Think of her as being that young. Okay. I picked up with the show when she was in college. So.
Right. Yeah. Number 21, hire a professional ladies' man to help you romance a crush via information obtained through stalking.
Say it again.
Hire a professional ladies' man to help you romance a crush via information obtained through stalking.
Is that a movie?
Yes, it's a movie.
Steve Carell one.
Nope.
No.
No, it's not Crazy Stupid Love.
No, the other one.
Give me a star.
As soon as I do, it's going to be Will Smith.
Oh. You know, the one with the guy, and he was in that movie
and
last
then, and
year.
And then Kevin James, because fat, yes. Hitch.
Yes, good yeah. grief.
And Kevin James dances, because fat people dancing is funny, like falling down. By the way, I saw the trailer for Paul Blart 2 at the movie today.
Why?
I don't know, because enough people saw it. All right, 22, it's a musical, so Kobe, get ready. Okay. Spend your one day on leave in New York City chasing a girl you've never met all over town based on her Miss Turnstiles poster.
Is that On the Town?
Yes. Very good. You haven't seen On the Town? Mm-mm.
New York.
Ooh.
New York.
Yeah, it's a good one. You should, you know what? You should tell Bianca, hey, we should watch that.
On the Town?
You should watch On the Town. Sinatra, Gene Kelly. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you another hint. This one also Gene Kelly. Fall in love, quote, at first sight, and basically stalk a young French woman until she agrees to spend her life with you. Me with Catherine Deneuve. Or Audrey Tautou.
Is the French woman Leslie Caron?
Yes.
I'm losing the name.
Title.
I know which movie it is, but I can't think of the title.
An American in Paris.
Okay, that's it.
You should also bring that up. Honey, you know, have you seen American in Paris?
She's seen it.
Oh, but have you?
I have not.
Okay. All right, this one's television.
She didn't like all the dance sequences.
In a musical?
Mm-hmm.
I like musicals, but
sometimes
they're too dancy.
They're too dancy.
We love you, dear. sorry. This is television. Fly cross country, dig up parks, and generally tear everything up searching for your ex's locket because it would make you the perfect you should be mine present for your wedding to your close friend.
This is television?
This is television.
Say it again.
Fly cross country. Dig up parks and generally tear everything up searching for your ex's locket because it would make the perfect, quote, you should be with me, quote, present for her wedding to your close friend.
Is that Parks and Rec?
Nope.
Don't know.
How I Met Your Mother.
Ah.
That's all right.
You could have given me clues all day. No
and, well, this one. Well, that's okay. This one's dead easy. Stand outside your ex's window, holding a boombox over your head, blasting the song that was playing when you first slept with her.
Now that's Buffy the Vampire.
Slayer.
Say Anything.
Yes, it's Say Anything. So, and, oh boy, go to your best friend's house to silently stand in front of the door while holding up signs declaring your love for your best friend's wife while Christmas carols play.
Gee.
And by the way, hint, they had a really nice knockoff of this on SNL with Amy Adams.
Is it Love Actually?
It is Love Actually. Got two more. Learn Portuguese to propose to your maid who you've never really spoken with and have only known for a few weeks. Hint, it involves an actor who was in The Kingsman.
Yeah. Is it Colin Firth?
It is Colin Firth. You're going to see a theme with the last two. And now Kobe's going on IMDb. Now you have two more questions and now you're cheating.
It is
also Love Actually.
Oh, okay.
And finally, dodge airport security to ambush your crush at her gate despite her never having actually shown any interest in you before.
Not friends with benefits.
It's not friends with benefits. Although, yeah, dodging airport security, that's a common practice in these movies.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
Also, Love Actually. Liam Neeson's son in the film.
Now, see, if I just stayed in the room longer, I may have gotten those last two.
Or the room. Hey, everybody, we're expecting. All right, that was fun. So some of those you want to check out, others probably not. We have time for Dead People We Like.
Yeah.
Because we don't have time for Dead People We Don't Like. I love the New York Times referred to her as film noir siren Elizabeth Scott, died at the age of 92. Known for, and really, film. You should watch more film noir. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to you too, Kobe. Films like The Strange Love of Martha Ivers, Dead Reckoning, Pitfall, Dark City, I Walk Alone, Bad for Each Other, The Racket with Robert Mitchum and Robert Ryan. So her last film was the 1972 film Pulp with Michael Caine and Mickey Rooney. Pretty good. What else? Strange Love of Martha Ivers, of course, with Barbara Stanwyck and Kirk Douglas. Dead Reckoning with Bogart, I Walk Alone, Pitfall. She was in Loving You with Elvis in 1957. So you know you'll Google image her. You're welcome. And then 92-year-old Stuart Stern passed away, best known as the screenwriter for Rebel Without a Cause. He also received an Oscar nomination for his first film, the 1951 drama Teresa. Also was nominated for an Oscar for his screenplay for Rachel, with Joanna Woodward, directed by Paul Newman. He also adapted The Glass Menagerie for a 1973 broadcast with Katharine Hepburn, Sam Waterston, Joanna Miles, and Michael Moriarty. And then he also won an Emmy Award for his adaptation of the book Sybil.
Ooh.
And his last major motion picture was, no, that's not true. He did the last movie with Dennis Hopper, the follow-up to Easy Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun, incoherent. Hard to watch. Other screenwriting credits include The Ugly American with Marlon Brando, The Outsider with Tony Curtis. He plays one of the Native American in World War II who winds up raising the flag at Iwo Jima. And the 1973 drama Summer Wishes, Winter Dreams with Joanne Woodward, who I believe was nominated for that, and Martin Balsam. Not a huge resume, but he hit it when it counts. So there you go. So
what should I see tomorrow?
You're seeing Whiplash tomorrow.
Okay.
So you should go. And Kingsman. I don't know how the Marm is on R-rated action movies.
The Marm sister's in town this weekend. I'm not going
to
see her.
So you can go to Whiplash.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you're going to do, Kobe. You have lots of titles. All right. Words to live by.
Silent breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
It was almost perfect. You know? No. You know what? Because sometimes you hit a wrong note and you just go with it because we are a jazz trio. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy birthday to my wife, Lynn. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. Are any Pistons in New York this weekend?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Thanks.
Pacers aren't either. We go. Good night, 4 Myers. Good night, California.